I'm using the same notes that I've handed out to you before, but I did print you out something else because I've been thinking about the verses we're going over, the topic. And we're going to continue where we left off last week and made a little thing that might help. Try to see how my mind was working. I have two sheets of the notes on peace. Anyone not have one? We've been speaking off of this. If you need it, I'll give it to Jan. There's two left. Raise your hand. For those who have the notes already, go to John 14. We're going to be starting at verse 27. It's where we left off. John 14:27 says, this is Christ in the upper room, and he says to the apostles, Judas has left the apostles to Israel. He says, peace I leave to your advantage. I'm going to retranslate a little bit. He says, peace I send away to your advantage, Ephiemi. Peace I send away to your advantage. Then he goes on and he says, the specific peace of me, my peace, I give a gift, I give as a gift to you, again, to their advantage. Then he goes on and says, not as measured by a standard, not similar to as measured by a standard, kathos, not as measured by the standard of the world system, do I give as a gift to your advantage. Stop letting the heart belonging to you as an individual, the heart of you, your heart, be agitated. Now he also adds, neither nor let it be fearful as a coward. To be cowardly fearful, which comes from Satan. Father, we ask that we might be given understanding at least of portions of this scripture, that we might understand what Christ was saying, such a contrast to anything that has been before, such a great privilege that our Savior would care about us to the extent that he would give his own quality, his own kind of peace. So we thank you for this study. We thank you for the fact that when we do study the Word and we are illumined by the Spirit, that you do hold us accountable to that Word. So we even thank you for the knowledge, we thank you for the understanding, and then we even thank you for the circumstances that you allow in our life to use the things that you, the Spirit, has taught us. And so we look forward to what the Spirit has today. May we look at the Scripture, go as far as the Scripture, no further, and may the Spirit of God through us glorify you and your Son. In Christ's name, amen. We looked last week and we started this message and we said that we used the illustration of that show on the Food Network, Chopped, and I told you that there's some things that are similar and look alike and people get them mixed up and they misunderstand what's really being spoken of. On that show, Chopped, I've seen it repeatedly happen, whereas they're rushing around in 20 minutes or so forth to get a dish prepared to be judged by the panel of judges. They'll many times grab a white substance and they'll think they're grabbing white sugar, but only to find out when it comes down to the judgment of their dish that they grab salt by mistake. And so they're choking, the judges are choking on the salt that was put in. So there's different kinds of peace that are explained in the New Testament, and some of them can be confused. There's a peace that's used in Scripture that's between men. And some people think that if they're peacemakers, and by the way, it does say in the New Testament that as much as we're enabled by God and we have within us, we are to take the initiative to be peacemakers. But you cannot make peace with someone that doesn't want to. You can't help someone that doesn't want help. You can extend the arm. You can be as reasonable as you want. But if that person is unsaved or that person is carnal, they are illogical. And I remember Pastor Schaefer saying many times, by the way, this Pastor Schaefer, many times that you can't win an argument with a fool. You'll both become fools. You keep doing it. And you can't, in fact, I told this to my brother recently. I said, you can't help someone, Frank, who doesn't want help. You're just going to frustrate and wear yourself out. You can't. If they don't want help, you can talk and try to do everything you can. But the Scripture says we are to be making peace as much as is in us. But sometimes you can establish peace. But we think sometimes in our mind that when we are at harmony with other people, our neighbors, our co-workers, people in the church, that there's a peace that comes from that, a tranquility, and we confuse that with the fruit of the Spirit, peace. That's not the fruit of the Spirit, peace. That's being a peacemaker and having an unruffledness between people, between men. It's a totally different thing. Then there's another peace that's explained in Romans, which says we have peace with God. And many people, that's all they go back to is an experience that they had at initial salvation where they felt this kind of ease in knowing that God, they were saved, God the Father had forgiven their sins, they were in a right relationship to God, and they had this peace that came over their mind because they were in a right relationship to God. And they enjoyed that experience, but yet they don't know how to go back to that. They don't know how to experience that state of mind again. They don't really know. So the only thing they do is they keep going back to their initial salvation. That's the pivotal point in their life where they actually were in a right relationship to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they felt kind of a peace because they had peace with the Father. They were at peace with God. But peace with God is not the peace from God. It's not the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not Christ here talking about my peace I send away to you. It's different. Then the world system has peace, and that's what we're going to go back to. Because the world system in Satan does give a quality of peace. So I want to go back and look at John 14, 27. And I want to start thinking about a few things. And I want to start laying some foundation for future messages. We're not going to end it all here today, but I got to lay a foundation because of misunderstanding. So in John 14, verse 27, I'm going to read from the King James, but it says, "My peace I leave or send away to you." I think he's looking at the sending of the Holy Spirit who's going to regenerate them, and then they're going to have the fruit of the Spirit and they can have peace. So I would not translate that "I leave you." I would translate it "My peace I send to you," because he's going to send the Spirit who's going to bring this fruit of the Spirit peace. And that is the word. It's the same word for phiemi, to send away, to forgive. Same word. So it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you as a gift." He's going to give, no strings attached. "Not as the world gives." And this is where we left off last week, so we want to come back here and pick it up. And is this going to be like a classroom type of a lecture? Yes. I don't know. If you don't like that and you want some kind of pump me up, fill me up, send me back out again, I'm not going to do that today, but I am going to give you some knowledge. So the first thing we do is we see here that he says, "My peace I give to you as a gift, but I'm not giving as the world gives." So what we see, first of all, is there is another quality of peace that is in the world system. In other words, unsaved people can have a quality of peace that is in contrast to Christ's peace. But it is peace. Do you see that? What I want to get across first, before we even go on, is to establish this fact. If a language means anything, the world does give unsaved people a unruffledness of mind. Because when we speak about the peace that's here, we're talking about an unruffledness of mind. Now, hang on to that. Just compartmentize that in your mind yet, because I need to define that further in maybe this message, but definitely in future messages. Because some of us begin to think that the peace that Christ has promised here, which is defined as a unruffledness of mind, does that mean that Christ is saying here, when you're spiritual and you have peace, that your mind's never going to get ruffled up? He's not saying that. In fact, I'm going to show you right in this context, you ready? Where Christ in his mind is agitated. You can read in the book of Hebrews, I think it's the 12th chapter, that Christ was tempted and he shed as drops of blood resisting in his humanity. He was sweating over it and dripped as it was blood. He's agitated right in this upper room. I'll show you eventually. It says his mind was agitated. You know what an agitator is? Okay, now we got the new kind. But we still have an agitator in Wyoming. But in Forest Grove, we got the new ones. You know, the round drums that looks like a laundromat that goes around and around and around. But remember the old washing machines? That we still has an agitator. That thing that's in the middle and it goes. What does the agitator do? It does the same thing from the past where you used to go down to the river, ladies, in the rocks, and you'd beat the clothes against the rocks and clean them up with a little lye. Oh, you never did it? Actually, I didn't do that, but when I was a kid, I can remember. Do you remember this? We would have the double sinks, and you'd have a thing you'd screw onto the side of the sinks. And you would go and take that soap and stuff, and you would have a scrub board, and you'd take the clothes, and you'd go up and down on that scrub board. You ever do that, Barbara? Never? Come on, I'm sure they beat them on the rocks in Louisiana. Anyway, we would scrub it. Then that thing would be saturated with water, and then you would take it and you would put it in a wringer, which is the rollers like this. And remember that, Richard? And Richard remembers, and you take it and you roll it, and it would squeeze the water out, and it would come. Then you slop it, and then you take a clothespin, whatever that was, and you would hang it on something that was called a clothesline, and you would let the air dry it. I know, we're dinosaurs, but this is the way life used to be before washing machines and dryers. Okay. By the way, if you hung anything out in the Northwest, it would never dry. Okay, back to this. An agitator is that thing in the washing machine that agitates that water and swishes it around, gets everything agitated and going up. Your mind can get that way. These are future messages. We're going to talk about you have to direct peace. You have to direct peace. What we're going to establish today is Christ has given us peace. And it's different than what the world gives, but it still needs to be utilized. We rented a car in Mexico, and I was ignorant. I thought, you know, hey, all cars come, you know, with air conditioning. All cars come with a radio, tape player, CD player. All cars come with electric roll-down windows. So I rented a car in Mexico, and I got there. I said, oh, it's a pretty good deal. Then I got the car. It was a Nissan something. And I got the car, and I went over there to push the window down. Whoa, what's this? There's a crank. What? You got to crank the window down. So I couldn't, you know. And the reason I was going to crank the window down is because I went to push the air conditioning on. Ain't no air conditioning. Remember that? This was ridiculous. In Mexico with no AC, crank down the windows and go as fast as your feet can pedal the car. You know, that was it. That was the car. You see, all cars don't come with the same equipment. What I'm trying to say is, if you have been born again and the Spirit of God is in us, which He is, we have the equipment. But the window ain't going to go down unless you do what? Push the button. The radio's not going to come on unless you turn it on. The AC is not going to come on unless you switch the switch. You can have the equipment in the car, but if you don't utilize it, it's not going to do you any benefit. We have the equipment. Once you're born again, this is our message today, if I ever get around to it, because we got to look at it, the comparison here. There is a peace that the world has. Unsaved people have a peace that's compared to what Christ talked about. Let's get down to the bare facts then. What does that mean? What are we talking about with this peace? It's an unruffledness of mind. So unsaved people can get a unruffled mind, but it's not the same as what Christ is giving. Do you see that? Well, it's a different quality. So, Satan's children have a quality of peace. May have. But what Christ is promising to His own is my peace. So my peace, unruffledness of mind, is in contrast to unsaved people's peace, unruffledness of mind that they have. Are we together on that? There's two different qualities of peace in this verse. Second thing, how it's given is different. Christ says, I am sending away to you my peace and giving it to you as a gift. He doesn't say here whether they earned it or didn't earn it. He just says he's giving it to them. It's not the word graciously give. It's just the word to give. Now, I would tell you they didn't deserve it, but he's giving it to them because they need it. And then we have the date of advantage. I'm giving it to you because you need this. It's to your advantage. In the world where I'm leaving you, he's going to tell them later in this context, I'm not going to take you out of the world, but I'm going to leave you in the world. And by the very fact that you're going to be left in the world system that's going to be indifferent, have an indifference hatred to you, they're not your buddies, they're not your friends, they indifferently hate you, you are going to need this peace. So he says, I'm going to give you my quality of peace because it's advantageous for you. He's looking out for our best. Why? Because in the decree, it's the Father's will that we don't get saved and go right to heaven. But we have to hang around for a while. And as we hang around, you're going to need this. Because I'm going to put it very plain. There's a lot of crud in this world. And it's going to mess up your mind if you don't turn on the AC peace and direct it. That's a future message. How do you direct peace? That's another message. That's for another day. That's ready, Richard? That's another story. So here we have, my peace I give to you. Now there's a manner in which he gives it. Do you see that? I'm going to give you peace. And how am I going to give you peace? I'm going to send it away to you, to your advantage. I'm going to send it to your advantage, away from me, and I'm going to give it to you. But that is different. Now the second thing, not just a different quality of peace, but it's different than how it's given. Not as the world gives it, I give unto you. So the world, Satan's unsaved children, do have a quality of peace given to them. But it's a different quality than what the peace that Christ is given. And how it's given is different. Are we together on that? I'm just trying to evaluate the verse. Different qualities of peace, but there is a peace there. Don't mistake it for Christ's peace. And how it's given is different. Let's look first of all at Christ's peace. It's an unruffledness of mind. So Christ is going to give us a quality of peace that's an unruffledness of mind. That's his quality. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2:16. By the way, when we think of Jesus who's speaking here, he is Pastor Schaefer spoke on this not too long ago. He is the what? Don't ever forget this. He is the God-man. His person can move in the nature of God, and he's perfectly God. So can, this is almost close to a quote from Richard. Jesus Christ in his person, is he God? What would we say? Yes. But when we look at him and we say, Jesus Christ in his, boy, in his person, is he a man? Yes. So what is he? He's unique. He is the God-man. So the Son of God person, joined himself, let's put this here, Jesus, referring to his humanity, joined himself to a human nature. He is perfectly man. And his nature as a man is what? Sinless. He's also at the same time can move in the realm of the nature of deity because he's God. Now it gets interesting. My peace I give to you. Is he saying as the Mormons that we become God? By the way, until of recent date, Mormons were called a cult. I still do. And there was books written, and in those books they called Mormons the God makers. Because in their belief, they believe you become God. Baloney. Scripture's so clear on that. There's only one God. You're going to only be one God, and he's never going to share his glory as deity with another. And he says over and over again, there's no God beside me. There's only one deity God, and that's all. But this is where it gets interesting. My peace in the realm of his humanity, he's going to give to us, but it's related to us participating in this nature. Let's go back. So in 1 Corinthians, did you go there? Because I didn't. 1 Corinthians 2:16. So in 1 Corinthians 2:16, there's an interesting statement that Paul makes to the Corinthians who weren't utilizing this mind correctly. For the most part, most of them weren't doing it. He says in the 16th verse, he asks a question. For who, well, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things in the context, the things that come from God, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who, now he asks a question. For who, what sort or kind of a man? It's tis there for those who have it. For what kind of sort of a person, of a man, has known in experience a quality of the mental mind? It's looking at the instrument. It's not looking at the kind of thinking. It's looking at the instrument. It's nous. So who hath known the mind? The mind of the Lord. The mind that belongs to the Lord. That's where the question mark ends, right there. Who hath known the mind of the a quality of the mind of the Lord? The thinking instrument. Answer. Those that they may be instructed of him is not in the Greek. It's not a good translation. He answers now, those who have been bonded, knit together with him. I believe that's looking at the ones, how do I know what the Lord's mind is concerning me? By the way, I went to a church once where there was a pastor who kept telling me what God's will was for my life. Who had known? It says here, you can't know if I'm spiritual, number one. Only I know that, because only I know where my mind is. Number two is, I only know the mind that belongs to the Lord, his working instrument, his thoughts concerning me. I only know his lordship over the body of Christ. I only know those things of him as Lord is when I am knit together with him. How do you do that? I take this as Colossians 3. It's when I get my mind on things above, and there I'm in unison in that relationship in the third heaven. I have my mind up there. Then it says in the next section is really what I want. I'm off track. But we have the mind, what we have, we possess. Now he's looking at regeneration. We have the mind of Christ. We have that. All Christians possess the mind of Christ because of regeneration, but not all Christians know in their practice the mind of the Lord. That's what I'm saying there. You may disagree with me on some of that, but that's how I take this verse. Who's known the mind of the head of the body, the Lord? Those who are bound or knit together with him. But we have the mind of Christ. That's something all Christians possess because of regeneration. We possess the mind of Christ. So why I went to this verse is, you have a fleshly mind. I don't want to prove all of this, but I can if you have any questions. There's a mind that is related to the sin nature, a fleshly quality of mind. Where does the my peace of Christ, the unruffledness of mind, where is it going to be? In this mind of Christ is what I'm trying to say. So we have, because of regeneration, the mind of Christ. So when he talks about my peace, he's not talking about a sin nature kind of peace, but he's looking at, you have Satan has a quality of peace to his children, and then you have Christ. Christ's peace is what I'm trying to say here is related to the mind of Christ. Not the fleshly mind. So, where is peace going to work then? Where is peace going to be utilized? Where is his peace, my peace, his quality of peace? It's going to be that quality of peace that's in a Christian who's rightly related to him, utilizing the mind of Christ. Next thing, turn to 2 Peter 1:14. Knowing that shortly, Peter writes, I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. He's going to put off the tent of his body. And this is not what I wanted. 2 Peter 1:4. Did I say 1:14? Yes, 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, though it's the upper room discourse, that by these you might be partakers, sharers in common, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he says we can share, be a partaker of the divine nature. Divine nature, a nature gives what? Desires. So we can participate in the divine nature, whereby we would have desires that are not, they're opposite to the sin nature. We're going to have positive, righteous desires. Turn to 1 John 5:11. By the way, all of these are things that you should know. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What life? The previously mentioned life. What's the previously mentioned life? Verse 11, God hath given us eternal life. So we also have eternal life. Life is a, I don't know how best to describe it. It's a life. It's an animating ability to give. You can have all the desires you want, but if you have no life animating ability to put those things into practice, it's not going to happen. So eternal life is God's quality of life. It's God's quality of life that lives out his nature. For those of you who study more, this is part of God's essence, spirit, and this is the result of the combination of his spirit and attributes as his nature. That's another story. But God's given us eternal life. It's an ability to animate and show forth the desires that are in the divine nature. So we have the mind of Christ. In that working instrument of mind, in the mind of Christ, which is a regenerated spirit, we can participate in the divine nature, have new desires, and we can also participate in God's quality of life to do this. And how does all of that get done? Gets done by the Spirit of God. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh, verse 16, this I say then, order the activities of your life, walk, have a lifestyle, activities of your life, by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. By the way, this shows us that walking by the Spirit is different than filling of the Spirit. Guys are still confused over this. Filling of the Spirit is be continually being filled by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is only when you have lust from the flesh. So as you, it's a continuous type of thing, but it's when it only promises victory over the sin nature. By the way, this I remember right from sitting in a class in Pennsylvania at Baptist Bible School of Theology, and those reformers that were coming there would attack Laverne Schaefer, and he would just keep hammering it. And this, he drew all lines like this across the board and just went at them. Those guys were wicked. And this is what he did. They tried to make walking by the Spirit and Spirit filling identical. It's not so. People still getting that confused. But here he says in verse 15, but if you, 16, this I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By the way, you have to be Spirit-filled to walk by the Spirit. Let's go on. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, the sin nature, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would normally do from the sin nature. So the Spirit of God, who is God, has strong desires for God's will for our life, which is opposite to the flesh, and those Spirit's lusts go against the flesh's lust, and the Spirit of God brings the victory. So then I do get desires, and I do have eternal life, and I can then use the mind of Christ to know the mind of the Lord and do the Lord's will. Why am I bringing this up? The peace that Christ is going to give by the Spirit of God then is related to these things, which means it's related to being, number one, regeneration, being born again. This is not position. My peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. His quality of peace that he had as the God-man in a human nature that was sinless, in his mind that he had there, he had a quality, unruffledness of mind that he would direct to his mind. That's the peace that he gives us. In order for us to have that quality of peace, we have to be regenerated. You have to be born again. The reason you can participate in these desires that come from a new nature is because the Father's seed is in you, because you're born again by the seed of the Father. You can have eternal life, which is going to animate that nature. The reason you can do that is because God the Son is in you. Regeneration. The one who brings victory over the sin nature and brings about these desires is the Spirit of God. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God is in us because of regeneration. So what I'm trying to establish, first of all, is Christ said, "My peace I send away to you." How did he send it? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But his peace is what? A peace that is related to the mind of Christ, the nature of God, the eternal life, and the Holy Spirit working inside of us because of regeneration. It's to the spiritual Christian. So my peace is the kind of peace that Christ has that's related to a nature that Christ had. His person related to a nature. God regenerates us. He gets us participate. Let's put it this way. We have a new nature. Having a new nature, this peace that Christ is giving us, is related to the new nature that God has given us, and it's related to regeneration. Next thing, my peace is related to an active mind. It's utilizing the mind of Christ and these desires and life that's God's quality of life. It's related to correct knowledge. By the way, I have all passages for this, but my time's going and I want to try to get to some contrast. It's related to knowledge, both oida and experiential. I have verses for it. God gives us knowledge. Why am I bringing this up? I'm trying to lay a foundation to show you this is in contrast to Satan. So this is related to regeneration. It's related to an active mind. It's related to the Holy Spirit teaching us and giving us knowledge, practice, and I had another word, full experiential knowledge, but I want something. Understanding. Understanding, the Spirit puts things together. So the Spirit teaches us facts. The Spirit then enables us to put those things into practice. And he gives understanding how it all fits together. It's an active mind based on regeneration. That's the quality of peace that Christ gives. An active mind, looking at the desires from the new nature, looking at the will of God for my life, that's where peace is going to be centered upon. How does he give it? He gives it by sending the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We believe the gospel. He gives us faith to believe the gospel. And then he joins our spirit to God's spirit, and we are born again. How does Christ give us his quality of peace? He gives us his quality of peace by regeneration, by the Holy Spirit that he sent. Him and the Father sent to be accurate. Are we clear on this? I hope so. Less contrast. He said, not as the world gives. Now let's look at a passage, 1 John 5:19. This is Satan. This is unsaved people in the world system. Do they have a quality of peace? Yes, they do. They have a quality on ruffledness of mind, but is their quality of ruffledness of mind based on any of this? No. So how does Satan keep his children with an unruffledness of mind? By the way, he needs to do that. If he doesn't do it, their sin nature is going to go hog wild and it's going to just be chaos. If people didn't have some kind of supernatural satanic manipulation to give them some kind of peace of mind, they'd go absolutely bonkers nuts. First of all, just think, if they're unsaved and they start looking at really the fact that they're going to die, and they start looking at the fact that they can understand that there is a creator based on creation, and they're facing death. Death is going to hit us all if Christ doesn't return, and it's going to hit them, and they're facing a creator God who they're accountable for. What do you think they're going to do? You think they're all going to keep on going and just functioning just the way they are? Oh, let's get up and face the traffic tomorrow on Monday on 26 and be stuck in traffic for 2 hours. That's pretty much what we did the other day for her test. That's nuts. I was in there going nuts. Can you imagine if they really had the blinds taken off of their head and they began to really look at the facts and see, whoa, this is all useless. It's wasteless. We're going to die. We're going to be accountable to Creator God, which they can't understand from creation. They would go absolutely insane. Dave, you think you have troubles now with the sin nature with people? Can you imagine if Satan just let them have no peace of mind? They'd go crazy. They'd go crazy. Someone told me once, they said, the real sane people that are unsaved are in the loony bins. He said they're the ones that are seeing that their life is really useless. And they go nuts. So maybe that guy walking around Forest Grove is the sane one. I don't know. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, it was read to us this morning. He says, verse 18, we know, that's to know the facts. Now, who knows? Who's the we? The Christians that John is writing to. We know that everyone having been born in the past with the present results, they're still born out of God. You don't lose the new birth. Is out of God as to his source. And he does not continually keep on sinning. I'm retranslating. But in strong contrast, contrary to all of this, the one begotten out of God as to his source, God the Father, keeps himself. So he doesn't keep on sinning, but what he's going to do is continually keep guarding himself. That word keep means to guard. By the way, that's what we should be doing. Yes, a Christian can sin, but you need to guard yourself from sinning. That's another message. Here, I'll let Pastor Schaefer teach on that. How do we guard our minds from sinning? Okay. He guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. This is a promise that Satan can't actually have his spirit substance touch my substance. He can't indwell us. I remember my daughter Cheryl, the one who passed away. When she went up to the college and she was staying on campus and she was in the women's dorm, And as soon as she got there, all these crazy doctrines were coming out. One was that Satan could possess a Christian. She immediately called me on the phone. She said, "Dad, I know you preached on that one time and you gave out notes." "Yeah, I did. Can you send them to me? I need to have a Bible study at this place. They're all crazy. They think they can be possessed by the devil." Well, I told her, maybe some of them can. Meaning they're not saved. They're not saved. But here it says, "And the devil touches them not," that evil one. Verse 19, "We know the facts." By the way, you only know the facts if you know the scripture and the Holy Spirit taught you. "We know the facts that out of God the Father, as to the source, we are," we exist. We exist now because we're born ones out of the Father. "And the world," how, what world? The whole entire world system in the evil one, in Satan, in the evil one, lies. This word "to lie" in the evil one is the same word of Mary placing Jesus when he was born in the manger. It means to cradle an infant. To cradle an infant. Why do you cradle an infant? I told you this last week. Dads know this. What do? We put the baby in the cradle and we rock the baby and we soothe it and we comfort it. We put the blankets around it. It says she wrapped them in swaddling clothes. We're wrapping them, making them feel warm. By the way, swaddling clothes is to wrap them tight in a certain way. I'm trying to remember how it's done. So that they feel like they're still tight in the womb. It's a newborn feeling tight in the womb. So Mary did that. She wrapped the baby Jesus back into the way he was like in his womb to comfort him and put him in the manger. We do that. It means to cradle someone, to comfort someone so that they slumber and sleep. Dads know this. We put them in the little rocker. We wind it up. Rock, kid, rock. As soon as the thing stops going and rocking, what is it? Always when they're on the 1 yard line about to run a touchdown, the kids start screaming, "Why?" Because the rocker, the cradle stopped going. It stopped rocking and the kid's not soothed. So what do you got to do? You got to run over there, crank it up real quick, push the pause button, come back, see what happens. What is this telling us? Satan comforts his children by cradling them to what? To slumber. To slumber. Is that an active mind? Now I got to be careful on this because this is a trick question. Is that an active mind or an inactive mind? It's an active mind, but it's slumbering with distraction to satanic delusion and lies. He cradles them in the world system that's built upon things and events and circumstances, sports, business, education, music, on and on and on. Everything that's out there in society and different societies around the world is built to regulate and try to control. Notice I said try to. He can't. Try to control the sin nature. And he does it by distractions. He cradles them and soothes them with the distractions of their society to where their mind is in a state of slumber. To what in this context? What is the world system slumbering and cradled to in this context? Let's read the next verse. We read the verse. By the way, what did it say? We know the facts. We know the facts. We know the facts. Let's read verse 20. "And we know," who's that? Christians who have been taught by the Spirit. "And we know the facts that the Son of God is come and has given to us an understanding. We're able to put together the facts related to him in order that we might know in practice, we might actually experience in practice the true one, and we are in the true one, in the Son of him, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. All these idols, these things that keep people in idolatry that are in the world system, we have a knowledge, we have understanding, we can actually experience the character of God, the true God, Jesus Christ. But what does Satan do in the world system? He cradles the world with their religions, with their jobs, with their sports, with their on and on and on to keep the mind in a state of slumber concerning the things of God. They can't even put together by looking at the stars, and it seems really obvious to me that if there's design, then there's a designer. They can't even get that right. And then you kids, I'm talking to you. I was watching that Jeff something experience, that guy that goes out with the snakes and the turtles and all that. Cohen? Corbin? I don't know. Corbin, yeah, dedicated to God. Anyway, whatever his name is, he's on Saturday mornings. And I'm telling you, our schools are filling. Where's my kids? Hey, you guys. You got to use your heads. And I'm going to call him this because that's what he was doing. He was acting foolish. He had a picture of an angelfish. And this angelfish had yellow, I think, up here and another color over here. And then he showed another angelfish that had another color over here and another color over there. Then he showed a third angelfish. And it had colors from both of these. And this is what he was teaching the young people on Saturday morning on whatever station it was. Kids, this is a clear-cut conclusion and demonstration of evolution. Whenever you say evolution, God's out of the picture. It's saying that we came from monkeys, that a monkey was my mommy and daddy. No, no, no. And then when they use the term Mother Earth, what do they mean? It means that I came out of some slime pool that had some amino acids in there, and my mommy and daddy crawled out of that slime pool and somehow grew up to be human beings. Now this guy, Jeff, whatever his name is, said that, see, now I have an angelfish that has blue and yellow on it, which has characteristics from the two. This is a definite demonstration of ongoing evolution. No, 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 idiot, fool, dumb. You can look at Jacob doing that with the sheep, for Pete's sakes. Back in the Old Testament, with his deal with who? Laban, whatever. Okay, all of the striped ones I'll keep. It's genetics, for crying out loud. It's genetics. It's adaptation. We never said that things don't adapt. But a fish does not turn into a bird. That's evolution. A monkey doesn't turn into a man. That's evolution. What? I got off track. But it's in line with 1 John. Satan cradles the world with this foolishness where they're not using their mind concerning a knowledge concerning God, but they're in slumber to this. Our time is up. We'll come back next time. I still haven't finished with this. How does the world system give peace? It gives peace through manipulating the world system. It gives peace to unsaved people by giving them false hope. And what kind of a peace is it? It's a give and take peace. It gives and it takes away. And it gives and it takes away. But Christ's peace, you have the equipment, just like your car came with electric windows and air conditioning, the new birth comes fully equipped. But you have to utilize it. So that's where we're heading to next time. How the world gives and takes, but how you can utilize peace. And we're gonna break it down. You can utilize peace in fear. It's on your notes. You can utilize fear in agitation. You can utilize peace in anxiety. And we're going to show you how. How. Father, thank you for this time together. Complex subject. If I went too far on anything, may it be forgotten. But if it is, show forth the word of God. We ask that we might add our amen and utilize that which your word says. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.